You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have on the phone with me State Representative for District 41B, Shane Hudella. Representative Hudella, it's good to have you back.
Hey, thanks, Mike, and appreciate you doing it by phone this week.
we make the accords that we need to get the information out there. That's kind of what we're all about here. What I'd like to start off this session with is you wanted to give a shout out to the Hastings wrestling team for their accomplishments, and I understand that you've been trying to get in touch with them.
Yeah, and boy, what an amazing story and what a massive comeback win. So I'm just really excited to recognize our Hastings Raiders boys wrestling team, state champion wrestling team, and couldn't be happier. I've had some initial talks with their leadership, and I would love to get the group up to the Capitol to be recognized.
All right, and did you happen to watch the finals on TV or catch it on YouTube? Did you see the pin that won it for them?
It was amazing, and yeah, I not only saw the pin that won it and won the state championship for the team, but really the two matches before that as well. Both of those young men had to execute perfectly as well. So as much as the focus is on that last pin to win it, boy, it took the whole team, and couldn't be prouder of those young men for pulling it off.
And it is a great accomplishment, and I do hope that they take the opportunity to come up to the Capitol and meet with you. That sounds like it would be a very good session, you know, just to have the team up there. And we got to kind of be moving along here, but the wrestling championship kind of has a parallel, an allegorical parallel, I'll call it, to what's going on in the Capitol with various bills and legislation. You're working on various things for the state. You're still wrestling. Ha ha ha. I said that on purpose. You're still wrestling with some bonding issues from the last session that didn't make it through. What's the current status of some of those different bonding issues that relate to Hastings?
Sure. Well, a lot of parallels with the Capitol right now. It's getting to be crunch time. We've had our first deadline, it's called, coming up at the Capitol. That's this Friday, where basically all new legislation needs to be introduced. So we're going to be shifting gears up there after this week, from the creation of ideas to the execution side. And really, this week is all about bonding up there. And for folks at home, the listeners that maybe don't understand it, we hear bonding a lot on the political landscape, and really what it means is borrowing money. It's typically done for big, long-term capital investment projects. If you look at the big-ticket building things and major bridges and things like that, are typically done through bonding. So we are in a spot where there was a framework last session last year, which was a bonding year. It didn't get across the finish line. So today, I believe, actually on the House floor this afternoon, is going to be bonding 2.0 and projects that we're trying to get across that were left over from last session.
And we talk about this a lot, but I think it kind of bears repeating so it stays fresh in our minds. Some of the issues that are close to Hastings, one for sure is the vet's home. Is that bonding request still making its way through, or is it going to be held over for something else? How's that working out?
So the Hastings Veterans Home is a massive $200 million-plus project, and the state would own about a third of that cost, or around $77 million. The federal government would
All right. And moving on from bonding just a little bit, you had mentioned as we were getting ready for this show that you've been keeping an eye on the progress or lack thereof of the food workers strike in Hastings. And was there anything that you wanted to contribute to that whole issue?
Well, I think it's time we find a solution, and I know a number of other elected officials have weighed in on it, and unfortunately, I think a lot of those comments are based in political rhetoric, and I really believe that it's time to get both sides together again and get a solution, because it's dealing with our kids and I understand both sides of the argument, right? I understand that our food workers are underpaid right now, and I think that time with surplus that we have and the amount of funding that we're putting into education from the state capital and coupled with money for our free meals for all the kids still that was passed earlier. I think it's time that we take care of those food service workers. But on the flip side, it can't bankrupt our schools either. And things become very complex when you get into school budgets and how money can be restricted in different accounts and when the money's actually going to arrive. So I'm just calling on our district together again at the table and for the good of our kids and the good of our community, let's figure out a solution so that we can get to some of the career game here.
How do you respond to the observation that has been made by people in the community that the superintendent was up for a raise and got a very significant one, where the food service workers, the offer that they're receiving from the negotiating team doesn't seem to coincide with that same kind of generous offer or generous raise for the superintendent? I know that's kind of like apples and oranges, but what is your response to a statement like that?
Well, I think it was poor timing, right? To be handing out pay increases to executives when we're in a position where you have your labor force that's going on strike over wages. So I think it was just bad optics. Was it deserved or not? Boy, just in the last couple of months that the state capital is looking at pay structures in a lot of organizations in the healthcare realm, just as I dig in deeper to our healthcare crisis. A similar scenario exists in the senior leadership of the parent companies of many of these nursing homes receive some massive salaries and six-figure bonuses. At the same time, you see massive rate hikes for residents' rent, one of which we talked about, local constituents. Her mother's rent went up $1,200 a month. So, do I agree with the strike and settle the conflict with food service workers for that? So I think it was just, even though it may or may not be deserved, I think it was really poor timing on this part.
All right. And, of course, we will certainly be keeping an eye on how that plays out. And I myself personally do hope that the resolution comes quickly and that it's beneficial for both the parties and the district, but also then for the kids. Of course, you know, we need to make sure that they're able to learn as they can.
I was going to say, and I do think the superintendent school district has done a very good job of making sure that the kids are nourished right now. It's a tough spot, right? Nobody wants a strike. The workers don't want one, and the administration doesn't want one. And I do want to give a tip of the cap to to the district for making sure that, hey, the, no kids are going hungry right now in our school district, and I think folks need to understand that.
All right. Moving on, you also mentioned as we were getting ready for the show that you had made a recent visit to a nursing home here in town, and I wanted to get your reaction to going over there and what some of that information is going to translate to in your work up at the Capitol.
Yeah, this past week I had an amazing visit at Augustana here in Hastings. They've been around forever. It's an amazing facility. But all of our senior care facilities in Minnesota right now are dealing with this massive crisis, and I heard the same thing from the residents and staff and administration at Augustana that I heard from the Benedictine home in Hastings here a couple of weeks ago, and that deals with major shortages in staff right now. You know, that directly affects the residents and the care that they're receiving. I heard about a lot of over-regulation in the industry, and just kind of a layman's example that I can give is there's a very large amount of things that have to be reported at a nursing home. One example would be if two residents got in a disagreement, they had a shouting match in the lunchroom, the nursing home is required to report that to the Minnesota Department of Health. So, someone from MDH then comes out to investigate that incident, and while they're there, they may find three or four, five more minor things that they're going to turn around and fight that facility on. And just a parallel with it, it would be like if you were building a deck on your home and you called the building inspector to come out and inspect it, and all of a sudden that building inspector starts pointing out problems with your garage and with your roof and then saying, hey, you have to finish all these other projects as well. So tough spot right now, tough spot for our workers who are severely burned out coming out of 2 years of COVID, dealing with staff shortages where they're constantly working more than they should, or having full staff come in that aren't from our community. A tough spot for administration. The Augustana home in Hastings is roughly two-thirds full right now, and they would love to take more seniors off of that waiting list for care, but they don't have the staffing to be able to fill those beds right now. So many, many problems, and I'm hopeful to bring some attention to it and a big way through a news story, while at the same time trying to offer some legislation that can start attacking some of the many issues in the industry.
That sounds like a fairly long and involved process. Where do you start?
Well, it is. There's so many problems right now in that industry, and for me, I want to start first with trying to solve the issue, one of the biggest issues for our constituents in our district, and that's the cost. Through the last month or so of really digging into senior care, I've learned that people pay $10,000 to $15,000 per month to have their loved one in a long-term care facility, and it all came about with this local constituent who brought to my attention that they got a letter right after Christmas saying, hey, January 1st, your mother's rent is going to go up $1,200 a month. So I think when we look at how do we solve that cost, an initial idea that I had is potentially to pass legislation that caps a maximum amount that somebody has to pay for long-term care, and it opens up a little bit of a can of worms, because that difference has to come from somewhere, right? If that cost to have a loved one in long-term care right now at $10,000, and we were to offer legislation to cap it at $8,000, for example, that $2,000 still needs to come from somewhere. So the next step for me is to examine, is it fair that taxpayers across Minnesota potentially make up that difference through a subsidy or other means? Can we create a fund with surplus money that would offset that difference so that it potentially doesn't have to be paid right now by taxpayers? But it's complex problems in the industry, and all I know is we got to start somewhere.
All right. And we will be keeping our eye on all that process. It's going to take a while, but at this point, we are basically out of time. So right now, what I'd like to do, Representative Hudela, is provide you the opportunity to give your contact information in case anyone has any questions or concerns.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. As always, I love hearing from constituents in our district, good or bad. If they have a complaint about something, I'd love to hear it. Or if they have an idea or want to identify a problem, I'd love to hear it. So the best way to reach me is my email address, and that address is rep.hudela@house.mn.gov.
All right. I would like to thank my guest for this segment of Community In Depth, Representative for Minnesota House District 41B, Shane Hudela. Representative Hudela, thank you for your time, and I look forward to seeing you or speaking with you again next week.
Sounds great, Mike. Thanks so much.
You are listening to Community In Depth on KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7.